she thought. Scour it, adjust the chlorine flow, and see how many of the filters are plugged. Perhaps all. Couldn't the ditch rider do that? No, that's not the UN's business. Do you need me? She asked, opening the back door. The air swirled at her, cold and choked with the fine sand. She averted her head and listened for David's answer. He was trained to say no. I guess not, the boy grumbled. Later, as she sat in a robe at the kitchen table drinking coffee, her plate of toast and applesauce before her, she looked out on the sight of the ditch rider arriving in his little flat-bottom boat, which putt-putted up the canal in its official way, never hurrying, and yet always arriving on schedule. This was 1994, the second week in August. They had waited 11 days, and now they would receive their share of water from the great ditch which passed by the line of houses a mile to the Martian north. The ditch rider had moored his boat at the sluice gate and was hopping up onto dry land, encumbered with his ringed binder, in which he kept his records, and his tools for switching the gate. He wore a gray uniform spattered with mud, high boots almost brown from the dried silt. German? But he was not. When the man turned his head, she saw that his face was flat and Slavic, and that in the center of the visor of his cap was a red star. It was the Russian's turn this time. She had lost track. And she evidently was not the only one who had lost track of the sequence of rotation by the managing UN authorities. For now she saw that the family from the next house, the Steiners, had appeared on their front porch and were preparing to approach the ditch rider. All six of them, father and heavy-set mother, and the four blonde, round, noisy Steiner girls. It was the Steiners' water, which the rider was now turning off.
Bitte, mein Herr,
Norbert Steiner began. But then he too saw the red star and became silent. To herself, Sylvia smiled. Too bad, she thought. Opening the back door, David hurried into the house.
Mom, you know what? The Steiner's tank sprang a leak last night, and around half their water drained out. So they don't have enough water stored up for their garden, and it'll die, Mr. Steiner says.
She nodded as she ate her last bit of toast. She lit a cigarette.
Isn't that terrible, Mom? David said.
Sylvia said, and the Steiners want him to leave their water on just a little longer.
We can't let their garden die. Remember all the trouble we had with our beets? And Mr. Steiner gave us that chemical from home that killed the beetles, and we were going to give them some of our beets, but we never did. We forgot.
That was true. She recalled with a guilty start. We did promise them, and they've never said anything, even though they must remember. And David is always over there playing.
Please go out and talk to the rider,
David begged. She said, I guess we could give them some of our water later on in the month. We could run a hose over to their garden. But I don't believe them about the leak. They always want more than their share.
I know, David said, hanging his head.
They don't deserve more, David. No one does.
They just don't know how to keep their property going right, David said. Mr. Steiner, he doesn't know anything about tools.
Then that's their responsibility. She felt irritable, and it occurred to her that she was not fully awake. She needed a Dexamil, or her eyes would never be open, not until it was nightfall once more and time for another phenobarbital. Going to the medicine cabinet in the bathroom, she got down the bottle of small green heart-shaped pills, opened it, and counted. She had only 23 left, and soon she would have to board the big tractor bus and cross the desert to town, to visit the pharmacy for a refill. From above her head came a noisy, echoing gurgle. The tank on the roof, their huge tin water storage tank, had begun to fill. The ditch rider had finished switching the sluice gate. The pleas of the Steiners had been in vain. Feeling more and more guilty, she filled a glass with water in order to take her morning pill.
If only Jack were home more, she said to herself. It's so empty around here. It's a form of barbarism, this pettiness we're reduced to. What's the point of all this bickering and tension, this terrible concern over each drop of water that dominates our lives? There should be something more. We were promised so much in the beginning.
Loudly from a nearby house, the racket of a radio blared up suddenly. Dance music, and then an announcer giving a commercial for some sort of farm machinery.
Depth and angle of the furrow,
the voice declared, echoing in the cold, bright morning air.